Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Pe Aleph. Today's daf is being studied. Da'ilu Nishmat Yosef Ben Simcha Sheneftar B'Kitzur Yamin V'Shanim, dedicated by Jerry Harari and family. Today's daf is being learned. Da'ilu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Abraham Ben Esther. We are starting at the Mishnah on Pe'alif with the top line. And the Mishnah says, Aetzem kede la'asot tavvad. The shi'ur of Aetzem. Aetzem literally means a bone. The shi'ur of a bone on Shabbat, that's considered significant that you're going to be hayav chatat if you carry it. Kedeh la'asot tarvad, Rashi says, what is a tarvad? Kaf kulyar. Kaf kulyar is like a spoon that would be used by a doctor. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kedeh la'asot mimenu haf. Rabbi Yehuda argues, and said the shi'ud is, in order to make from it, haf. What is haf? So Rashi says, Kasal kadatach, top line of Rashi, the potachat shel chaf atzma, the shi'ura nafish mitarvad, which means they're learning it as a lock, actual mechanism, a lock that they place in a door. So they used to make it, at this point they're thinking out of bone. And therefore this is obviously bigger than the spoon of the tanakama. So you know, we have a machloket by Eitzim. Is it the size of a doctor's spoon, or is it the size of a lock that's placed in a door? The Gemara is going to change that, but this is at least the Hava Amina. Zechuchit, glass, kedeh ligror bo rosh karkar. We learned earlier that a karkar was a type of utensil that was pointy on top, and they used to use it to straighten out the weavings when they would bunch up. So they would use the pointy part of it in order to straighten them out. That was the karkar. So in order to keep the top of the karkar pointy, sometimes they would take glass and they would sharpen it. So the shi'ud of glass is in order to sharpen the karkar, the top of this stick. Sror or even a rock or a stone, what is the shi'ur? Kedel zrok ba'of, in order to throw it at a chicken, which means if somebody wants to get his chickens out of the way, he wants to shoo them away, what would he do? He'd take a rock and he'd throw it at them. So that would be the shi'ur. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer kedel zrok ba'behema. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that you don't need to shoo your chickens away by throwing a rock. You could just scream and they go away. So he says the shi'ur would be rocks enough to scare away or throw at the animals in order to get them to go away. Comes the Gemara and says, Lememra de shi'urad Rabbi Yehuda nafish. Hakaimalan de shi'urad Rabbanan nafish. The Gemara, for the third time, asked this question. The Gemara's question is, we know that we established the principle that Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir than Tanakama in Shabbat, in the sense that he always takes the smaller shiur. And here in our Mishnah, it seems he took the larger shiur, because while Tanakama said the shiur of Ayatzim of a bone is the size of the spoon, he came along and said it's the size of the lock, which assumption is it's bigger. So the Gemara asked, the Memra, the Shorad, Rabbi Yehuda Nafish, you mean to tell me that the Shiur of Rabbi Yehuda is greater? Hakai Malan, we know the Shiurad Rabbanan Nafish, that the Shiur of the rabbis is greater. I mean, the rabbis are the lenient one when it comes to the Shiurim. Amar Ola, the Ola answers, Hafe Potahat, which means we're not talking about the lock, the whole entire lock. We're talking about the pieces that are in the lock, which means they used to insert in the lock pieces of bone, and that would become the shape, so to speak, of the combination, exactly, which they subsequently would stick a key in, which had the similar shape. that would be able to, you know, unlatch or, you know, cause the bolt, let's say, to go through or to lock it. So therefore they would put different little pieces of etzim in the lock itself in order that the mechanism could work. So we're talking about those little inserts, not the whole entire mechanism itself. So therefore it is indeed lesser shi'ur than Tanakama. Now she says, on the words hafi potahat, shinayim akivu'im ba. She calls like the teeth of the lock, ve'lohi atzma, but not the lock itself. Ve'osim ota me'etzim. So the teeth that are in the lock itself, they make out of etzim, out of bone. So hafi would be like the teeth, potahat of the lock. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan, Hafi Potachat Teorin. Now we discuss just one quick law in the laws of Tum'ah V'Tahara. So the Gemara says the teeth that are made out of bone, before they're attached to the actual lock itself, they are not susceptible to Tum'ah. Why? So the logic is, because they're not considered a vessel, they're not considered a keli, they're just pieces of etzim. Pieces of etzim do not have the ability to become tameh. Kaba'an bepotahat, but once you attach it to the potahat, to the lock itself, then they're ready to mean. Then they become susceptible to tumah because they have a function now. Now they serve as the part of the lock. So that she says, we read it together, teme'in, which means like this, even though these pieces of etzim of bone do not have a receptacle to them, and we know that vessels that don't have a receptacle to them, they are called peshute kelim. Literally means like simple kelim that are just without a receiving end to it. And the rule is that pishute kelim matechet are susceptible to tumah. Meaning when it comes to metal, the keli does not have to have a receptacle in order to become tameh. So that she tells us the same rule applies to keli ayetzim. Pishute keli ayetzim are mitamim. Therefore, once they have a function that you stuck them as part of the lock, even though themselves they do not have a kli kibul, they do not have a receptacle to them, still they are going to become tameh. Which means, normally, it's, I don't care if they're part of the lock. Bottom line, the teeth themselves, they're just pieces of etzim. There's no, you can't stick anything in them, so to speak. They don't have a receptacle. Doesn't matter. Keli etzim are like kli matechot, that when they're pishute kelim, they're still susceptible to tumah. Then Rashi tells us, v'im ishum demechubal lefotachat, v'chona mechubal letahor tahor. So you can say like this, the potahat, the lock itself, was made out of wood. So Rashi says, maybe you're going to argue and say, why should the teeth become tameh? We have a rule. Whatever is attached to something has the din of the item that it's attached to. And the assumption is that the wooden lock should not become tameh because it doesn't have a kibul, kli kibul. And we have a rule that while pishutei kli matechet does not need a kli kibul, a receptacle area to receive tumah, but wood does. And the assumption is that this lock does not have a kli kibul, and therefore, since this kli ayetzim is attached to kli ayetzim, is attached to the wood, maybe it should not become tameh. So that she answers, no, the lock does have a kli kibul. What's the kli kibul of a lock? The hole where you stick the key in. So therefore, the kli ayetzim itself, which is the lock, is definitely susceptible to tumah. So therefore, these items now that are attached are also going to be susceptible to tumah, either because they're attached, so the attachment is not going to render them ta'or, because it's attached to something that's also susceptible, and they themselves can receive tumah because they're functional, even though they don't have a kli kibul. Kli etzim does not need a kli kibul, just like kli matechot. The Gemara continues, v'shel gal. However, the lock that's attached to a gal would be like a gate, or a door. Till now we were talking about a lock, let's say, that was attached to a box, used to make a little lock and attach it to a storage box or something like that. However, if it's attached to the actual, let's say, gate or the door, even though you stuck it on the door and you banged the lock in with masmerim, and you banged the pieces of etzim, you banged it in with nails, teorim. Why? Because we have a different rule working here. Once already you fix it to the door, the door is attached, let's say, to the house, or the door is attached to the gate, right? We'll call it a gate. So you have a door, the lock attached to the gate, and the gate is in the ground. We have a rule. Anything attached to the ground is not susceptible to tumah. So the lock as well will be considered attached to the ground, and therefore, it doesn't matter. It's not in the kabir tumah. Let's just read Rashi on that. Rashi says, V'shel galeh, v'im apotachat hazot ena shel kelim. Let's say the lock is not attached to vessels, kegon shida umigdal. Those are different type of boxes. Ela shel gal kemo truke galer. That was a lashon in Masechet Berachot. Kegon daltot sharei haser. She gives an example. I say the gates or the doors of a courtyard. Afalpi shechevran bepotahat. Even though you attach the pieces of etzim to the potahat and lock, who il v'chibur ze badelet. Since bottom line, it's all attached to the door. V'delet binyan mechubad lekarka, and the door is attached to the karka. Teorin. So therefore, basically, we gave three laws regarding the tum'ah of these teeth of the lock. If they're not attached, meaning to the lock, teorin. They're not functional, they have no purpose, they're not considered a kelia. If they are attached, they are susceptible to tumah, but that's only if they're attached to a movable. However, if they're attached to a door, a gate, then they're considered a chobal lekarka, and they would be tehorim. But I continue, zichu, heat, glass, kedel legrorbo. We said enough to rub the top of the karkar in order to sharpen, to keep it pointy. Tana, so we have a braita. Sechuchit kedel lefsoa ba shne nimin kachat. What is sechuchit with a samech? So that she says sechuchit is another way of calling glass. Glass would be referred to as two ways, either sechuchit or zechuchit. Why would we call it zechuchit? Zechuchit comes from the word zach. Zach would be bright, because the glass is bright, it shines. Why would it be called sechochit? So that she says, al shem shesochin, which people gaze into the glass. Sechicha is to gaze. So therefore, it's the same thing. Sometimes you refer to it as sechochit or zechochit. But the braita here gives a different measurement. The braita's measurement is, kedem lefsoa ba shneni min kahat. It's a glass big enough that has the ability to cut two strands of thread together, which means you put the threads together and you would run the glass across it in order to rip it. It seems after you make a garment, let's say you have some strands that are hanging out, you want to cut them, so you need a piece of glass big enough in order to cut two dangling threads simultaneously. Gemara continues, Sror or Even, Kedeh Lizrok Ba'of, Rabbi Elazar Vechuleh. Got a machlok in the Mishnah regarding the shi'ur of rocks. Tanakama said the shi'ur is enough to throw it at a chicken in order to scare it away. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov came along and said, no, enough to throw it at an animal. So Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Vehu Shemargeshet Ba. Which means not enough to throw it at the animal, but it has to be significant size where the animal feels it. Which means when it hits the animal, he's going to feel it. The kama shi'ur. What is the shi'ur of such a rock? Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Mishkal Asara Zuz. Its weight would be 10 zuz. So the Gemara gives a clear shi'ur. Zunin Alebe Midresha. Zunin was the name of a rabbi. So Zunin Ale Ben Midrasha, he entered the Bet Midrash. Amad Lehu, so he told the rabbis, Rabbotai, Hakamim, Abanim Shel Bet Akiseh Shi'uran Bekama. Now, since we already are discussing rocks, so the Gemara digresses to rocks that we used in the bathrooms in the olden days in order to clean themselves. You have to keep in mind that they did not have paper and things like that that we have today. So they used to use a rock in order to clean themselves. So what Zunin wanted to know is two questions. Number one, what is the shi'ur of a rock that's used for the bathroom, which is what's considered a significant size, and therefore that would be considered the shiur that if one goes out in the public domain on Shabbat, he's going to be hayav. Which are rocks that you use to clean yourself, so the shiur chashuv is going to be how big is the rock, and therefore that'll affect hotza'ah. Or the way that she understands it, he was asking a question of mukseh, which means you can only use the rocks that are suitable for cleaning yourself. However, if it's more than that or bigger than that, so those rocks would resort to being mukseh, which is you wouldn't be able to move more than what's needed. So therefore, he's either asking him, what's considered the shi'ur hashuv, nafka mina, if I want to carry on, if somebody carries on Shabbat, it'll be hayab chatat, because it's a significant shiur, or he's asking regarding mukseh. It's really based on the same thing. Once we find out the shiur hashuv, which is used in the bathroom, then anything more or anything else would be mukseh, and that shiur itself, if you carry it in the public domain, would be considered hayab. So he says, amru lo, so they answer him, kezayit, ke'egoz, ve'kabetza. They tell him, actually, you get to use three rocks. And the three rocks, one is the size of a kezayit, an olive, and one is ke'egoz, one is the size of a nut, walnut, and one is a kabetza. They gradually get bigger. So as she tells us, shalosh machnisim nekinua. You bring three in order to wipe. Umekaneya'zu aharzu. And you use one after the other. Starting with the kezayit. Starting with the smaller one, and then moving up to the egoz, and then moving up to the betza. So you know, she explains that the reason why they would do this is because this would clean the person properly. By using the smaller one first, he's able to clean, let's say, that area, where if he was used the larger one first, as she says, literally would smear and would not do the right job. So the Gemara is telling you, it's three rocks you get, and it actually gives you the sizes. Amar Lehu, so when Zunin heard the answer, he said, V'chi turtane yechnish. Says, what is a guy now is going to go bring a scale with him into the bathroom on Shabbat, and now he has to start measuring kezayit, egoz. She says, how are you supposed to figure this out on your own over here? You're going to need a scale. So nimnu vegamnu, so the rabbis voted and they concluded, melo hayad. So they gave a more clear measure that everybody can calculate, a handful of rocks, which means that so long as you have a handful, then you're considered okay. That she says, ben shiloshtan, or afilu hen dalet vehe. She says, I don't care if it's three rocks, if a guy can fit five rocks in his head, so it's five rocks. So that's a shiur that everybody can, it's discernible, it's doable. Tanya, we have a braita. Rabbi Yosef Omer, kezayit, ke'egoz, ve'chabesa. We see it's actually a machloket tanaim. Rabbi Yosef said the shiur is the three sizes. Kezayit, egoz, and a betza. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosef Omer, mishum abiv. Rabbi Shimon said the name of his father, melo hayad, which means a handful. As we saw, well, I think they have the Girsa over here. The Dalid puts different names over here. It says, Sariq Lamar Rabbi Ishmael Rabbi Yosef. So if it's Rabbi Ishmael Rabbi Yosef, he said the name of his father, Rabbi Yosef, that the shiur is.
His father is still Rabbi Yosef. different Yes,
you have to say the Bishmael with the Biyoseh, and the first Biyoseh is different, Rabba. Otherwise, you'd be saying the same thing. They're different things. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita. Actually, the first Rabbi Yosef, they changed to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That answers your question. So you read the Braita like this. Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Kezayit Kegoz Vechabesa. And then you have Rabbi Ishmael ben Rabbi Yosef Omer, Melo Hayah. So it's clearly two different rabbis. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita. Gimel Abanim Mekurzalot Mutar Lachnis Lebet HaKiseh. We continue on this subject. The types of rocks that they used to bring with them in the bathroom were called abanim mekurzalot. They were sharp rocks, meaning they came to a point, seems that would enable them to use them, to enter to enter them. So the Gemara says, you're allowed to bring three rocks, mekurzalot, of that style, the sharp rocks, you're able to bring with you into the bathroom on Shabbat. And of course, Lashi says, either we're talking where the bathroom is in the chatzer, in the private courtyard, where you're not discussing what you're carrying over here, or it's in the public domain and you're just taking them less than 4 amot. So as long as you're taking less than 4 amot, it would be okay. So Gemara says, Vekama shi'uran, what is the shi'ur of these rocks? Rabbi Meir Omer ka'egoz. So he says, each one is the size of an egoz. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ka'betza. Rabbi Yehuda Kalun says, no, each one is size of a kabetza. So we see already the arguing on what we said above. We have different shitoria now. Amar Raflam Bar Papa Amar Rav Chizda. Ke machloket kan, kach machloket be'etrog. So he says, the same machloket we have over here by the rocks that you use for the bathroom, so the same machloket we have by an etrog. Meaning, what is the minimal size of an etrog? So one rabbi says it's the size of an egoz, and one rabbi says it's the size of a betzah. So he was just saying, you know, the machloket that we have over here, you should know in the etrog, it's the same. It's the same story. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Hatam matnitin hakabraita, which means the law of the rocks of the bathroom was written in a braita. Braitot were less well known than mishnayot. The law of the etrog happens to be written in a mishnah in Masechet Sukkah. Now, normally you don't quote the lesser known item in order to prove something that is more well known, which means you don't quote a braita which was not so well known by all the students. It was possible that some students were not aware of a braita, but all the students are definitely aware of the mishnayot. So the way the rabbi said it, you should know. What we said over here also applies to an etrog. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Hatam matnitin. The case of an etrog is an explicit mishnah, which is the known subject. Haka braita, where here is the less known. So you don't attribute the stuff that should be well known on something that is less well known. So you're right, you have to change it around. Ela, say like this, ke machloket be'etrog, kach machloket kan. Which means say, just like the famous machlok we have in the Mishnah, by an etrog, that also has application by the rocks of the man. So we're making the known our fact, and then we're applying it to the case of the rocks. Amar Rav Yehuda, aval lo etapayas. But on Shabbat, you can't use in the bathroom the payas. So the Gemara says, my payas, what is this item? Amar Bizera Karshine Bablaita. Now she says, Regab Shekorin, he gives you the word, it's like a clump of dirt. Deo'ilu Mifrechar, as she says, when you lift it up and you start to use it, it comes apart, it crumbles. Lo hazi lekinuach. So therefore this clump of dirt is not viable for wiping oneself, and therefore it would be mukseh. And therefore one would not be allowed to use this on Shabbat. Well, the rocks are okay, because the rocks serve a purpose. However, the piece of dirt, it's not going to serve a purpose. As you said, it will crumble, and therefore you can't pick it up to start off with, because it is mukseh. Comes the Rashi says it's called Karshine Bablaita. It's called the, you know, the clump of dirt of Babel. Why they refer to that? So that she says, Mishum Shebabel Eres Lachai. Babel was like marshland. It was moist. And when they would plow the ground, it would bring up like clumps of dirt. So therefore they refer to it as Bablaita.
Amaravaravatot Asur Lemashmesh Besror Beshabbat Kederek Shememashmesh Bechol.
Now let's review. This subject over here, Lemashmesh Besror. What they used to do is, in order to open up their bowels, they used to take a rock and they would insert it in that area in order to open it up, in order to allow them to relieve themselves. So the Gemara says, Asur Lemashmesh Besror Beshabbat. That procedure of mishmush besror would be forbidden on Shabbat, like the way you do it during the week. During the week it's permissible, but on Shabbat it is forbidden. Why? So let's read Rashi. Lemashmesh hanitzrach lifanot. Person has to relieve himself. Ve'enu yachol lifanot, but he's having a hard time. Amninu mekaman befirkin temashmesh besror benekev. He puts a sror in the hole over there, and it opens it up. So comes the Gemara and says, now why would this be asur? So the Tosafot explains that because it would cause hair in that area to be pulled out. And therefore, one is not allowed to pull out hair on Shabbat, and this is something that's going to happen automatically. Which is, even if, let's say, the guy doesn't have kavanah, but since it's going to happen inevitably, we call that a psik nesher, and therefore it's called hasarat nimin, so you're going to have a problem. So therefore, we don't want you to do this on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, matkif la mor zutra. So mor zutra brings a challenge, and he says, listakin. So what? You want the guy now to be in danger? Which means we know that we learned in Masechet Berachot, right? Amud Ahozer, that once already the Amud, which means the waste that's in him, comes out, and then it goes back in, that can bring to Hadroken. Hadroken is dropsy. So therefore, maybe this is dangerous. If you don't let it come out, they can go back in. Chatzav shalom be dangerous. So what? You're going to say that the guy should put himself in sakana? So the Gemara answers kil achar yad, which means we're not telling you not to do it at all, but just do it in a different way. Bishinui. I mean, instead of, let's say, holding the rock in the normal way when you're making the mishmush, that she says about klachar yad kegon or chesrod bebet it's beotav. Hold the rod with two fingers, which means that would not be the normal way you do it during the week. It seems you just get clutched the whole rod. Hold it with two fingers, and therefore it's considered klachar yad. And it seems that the rabbis said that then klachar yad, they'll allow it. They'll allow such a thing. So comes Gemara and says. Comes Gemara and says. Ama Rabbi Yanai, im yesh makom kavua lebet hakise. If let's say there's a set spot that they use for a bet hakise, which means it's a makom kavua, it's a designated spot that they have the bathroom there, melo hayad, then already he allows you to bring in a handful of rocks. What's his logic? He says, because even if you don't use all the rocks now, let's say you went in Arbit, but you leave the rocks there, and you come back to that same spot in Shachrit, and you'll use it. So therefore, it's still considered tzorech, it's still considered, they're not going to be mukseh, which means I'll let you handle a whole handful if it's the designated spot, because the rocks will be used probably on that Shabbat as well. However, imlav, but if you're not going to a spot that's designated, meaning you might probably not going to go back to that spot, then he says, kechreya. Then we're going to take the machriya. Machriya is the literally the balance, meaning the middle opinion. We had three opinions on the sizes. We went all the way up from a from a kezayit, which was the smallest size, to a kabetzah. The middle size was an egos. So he said, you know what? If it's not a designated spot where the bathroom is, you could follow the machriya. Take the size of a egos, which would be a walnut. Now she says that on the fourth wide line, actually the first wide line in Rashi, kechreya, kishiura machriya, kegos. Nafish me kezayit, because an egos is larger than a kezayit, bezutar mekabetzah. It's less than a betzah. Gemara gives a new din, meducha ketana shel besamim. A meducha would be, let's say, the vessel that they use to crush besamim, which means it's like the they call it the mortar, okay, where they would bang the spices in. So it says a meducha ketana shel besamim. You have a small mortar where they used to crush the spices, the besamim, in there. Amar Rav Sheshat. So Rav Sheshat says, im yesh aneh ha'ed, if there's literally a witness on it, or a sign, mutar, it is permissible. What are we talking? Rashi. Rashi says, meducha ketana melachta li'isur. First of all, you have to know that this item over here is klish melachto li'isur, which is its designated purpose is for something that's forbidden on Shabbat. Obviously, grinding on Shabbat is forbidden. So this item in the normal situation is mukseh. Okay? Now, asur l'talter, therefore, as she continues. V'im yesh alav ed, however, if there's a sign on it, kinua hamirit sh'asuya lekach, which means if, let's say, you see, it seems that this, we're talking about the actual pounder itself. And therefore, he wants to use this now as a like a rock to make kinuah with it. So therefore, he has to know that it was designated for that already. So what's the sign that is designated? He sees an ayat on it. What's the ayat? The ayat is he sees something on the mortar itself, which means exactly he sees it was used. And that's a sign already, what? That this was designated for the Beit HaKiseh, so therefore it's non-mukseh, and then we have no problem. Now, we shouldn't have a problem at all, because if Rashi's telling me that this pounder that they're using, it's a klish melachto l'isur, we know the rules of mukseh that say a klish melachto l'isur, that tzorek gufo is mutar. So therefore, what do I have to have it designated? And you saw it already, which means if I'm using it for a permitted purpose, even a klish melachto l'isur, which is designated for isur, is permissible. So the Mefashim explained in Rashi, you have to say that this item is mukseh mahmat hasaron kis, which means it's a higher level of mukseh, which means people usually don't use this item to anything else but crushing their spices. They don't use it for any other use, even a permissible use. So therefore that's a higher level of mukseh, which is even sort of gufo would be asur. So the only way you'd be able to use it if there's an ayat on it. What's the ayat? That you saw that it's being used, it was used, you see some excrement on it. Then already you know that somebody designated it for cleaning. Meti be the Gemara has a question from a braita. Gemara's question is: Asara devarim ivim et adam lide tachtoniyot. There are 10 different things that bring a person to the sickness called tachtoniyot, which is hemorrhoids. What are the 10 things? The Elohim haochel ale kanim. Somebody eats, let's say, the ale kanim is the leaves of the reeds. The ale gefanim would be grape leaves. Velulave gefanim, that would be the shoots of the grapes. Umorige behema. Morige behema belo melach. Morige behema is different types of meat from the animal that have ridges. Morige is something that has a ridge, which means if you eat the meat of the animal that's not smooth, that can cause hemorrhoids. Now she gives us examples of morige behema, the ridged meat of the animal. So he says that would be like exactly the tongue, the throat, different areas in the stomach. So that can bring the hemorrhoids. The shidro shel dag, or one who eats the spine of a fish. The dag maliyah. Incidentally, the morige behema is only when it's not salted. Velo melach. It seems if you salt it, it's okay. Shidro shel dag, the dag maliyah shelo bishel kol tzorko, the salted fish that you didn't fully cook, v'ashoteh shamrei yain, one that drinks the sediments of wine. Now here's our point. V'amekaneyach besid u'baharatzit u'bitzror shekineyach bo havero, which means the statement says that if somebody, number one, uses to wipe himself seed, which would be limestone, or harasit, harasit would be from the bricks, ubitsror, or he uses a rock, shekinei arbo havero, that was used by his friend. So you see over here a direct conflict, because we're saying, how are you going to know if this meducha is permissible for you to use? There'll be a sign on it, implying somebody else used it. Now, we're not going to let you use that, because that's going to bring you to tahtoniyot. So the Gemara says, if yesh shomrim, incidentally, there's another item that brings to tahtoniyot, yesh shomrim, af atoleh atzmo bebet hakiseh. Somebody that suspends himself in the bathroom, which means he does not sit. He's like suspending himself, squatting, exactly, that can cause it as well. So anyway, the Gemara says, la kasha. It's no question. The Gemara is going to give three different ways we can reconcile. Meaning, how are you telling me that if you see a mark on it, so now you're going to use it? What do you mean? That was used by somebody else. And we know that that's dangerous. That brings the tachtoniyot. So the Gemara says, one answer, ha belach, ha biyavish. When do we say you can't use if somebody else used it? That's if it's still lach, if it's still moist. Habi yavesh. But here we're talking about where it's dried. Where it's dried, so there's no problem. Bibay tema, second answer, kan mitzad echad, v'kan mibet stadim. Because when do we say it's forbidden if it's on both sides? So both sides, so then already, of course, you can't use it. But if it's only on one side, so you never use the other side. And that's the case we're talking about over here. The head was on one side, you use the clean side. Or we can answer, when is it forbidden or dangerous, I should say? That's only when you're using your friend's. Your friend's item that he used to clean himself. However, if it's your own, it's okay. So therefore, we're talking about over here, you have to say whether it was your own, and therefore he needs a sign to know that that was the one that he designated. That's the right one. So therefore, if you see it's his, it's talking about it is his. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Abaye le Rabbi Yosef. Abaye tells Rabbi Yosef, Yardu alei geshamim. If let's say it rained on this item, and what happened? Vinishtashteshu. And what happened? That she says that sign that was on it, which means the excrement that was on it got washed away by the rain. So the Gemara says, and therefore it wore away the sign mahu. So that would what's the deen? So amale imayad ishuman nikar mutar, which means like this: once it rains, you might say it cleaned it. Once it cleans it, the guy's not now. Maybe the guy will reuse it now to crush his spices. Now it goes back to its original function, and therefore it's not designated anymore for cleaning. Which means once it rains, it's cleaned. So the question is, what's the deen? So the Gemara says no. If there's still a trace on it, which means it cleaned it, but there's still a trace, mutar, because the guy is not going to use the meducha that has a trace of excrement on it in order to crush his besamim. Now she says that on the bottom line. Let's read that together. Kar mutar, kevan dema'is. Since it's disgusting, lohazi le besamim. Right, it's not befitting to use to crush besamim. Ve'lo miftin le mebet hakiseh. He's not going to nullify it from the bet hakiseh usage. However, it seems that if, let's say, it's totally clean where there's not even a trace on it, then already it resorts back to its original function. So the question was asked to Rav Chisda. Ma'u le'alotam achalav legag. Is it permissible to take these rocks up to the roof, which means that she says, "Per talking about a person that wants to relieve himself." But maybe the rabbis made a gezerah because on Shabbat they don't want you to do things of excessive labor. Call that things that are tenha. So we want to know, could you even bring these rocks, let's say, all the way up to the roof to relieve oneself? Or maybe only in the, you know, the level field that where the bathroom was. So the way that she learns the question, let's read it on top line. Ima'ala sham lifnot. If a person went up to the roof to relieve himself, mi yachayshina l'tirha yitira, yitirta, or no? Do we suspect to excessive labor, and therefore be forbidden, or not? So amad leh, gadol kavod abiriyot, shidoche et lo ta'aseh shebatorah. Now, if you're going to say it's excessive labor, so then these rocks would become mukseh. So the issue is really, are these rocks mukseh to take up to the roof or not? So the Gemara answers, we're dealing over here with a kavod abiriyot issue. Kavod abiriyot means, this is the dignity of a human being, which means to allow him to relieve himself is his dignity. You know, to not allow him is not kavod abiriyot, is not respectful for the people. And we have a rule that kavod abiriyot is so important in the Torah's eyes that it has the ability to even override a lo ta'aseh, a negative commandment. The classic example of that is, the Torah says that when a person is walking in the street and he finds a lost object, so the Torah says, lo tuchal hit'alem, one is not allowed to close his eyes from that object. He has to deal with the object. However, the Gemara says in Baba Mitzia that if he's a zakin, if he's a tamid chacham, ve'eno lefi kevodo, it's beneath him to pick up this item, whatever it might be, and not to walk in the public domain with it. So therefore, it's embarrassing for him. For example, let's say there's a lost chicken. So now you're going to see a tamid chacham walking around the public domain carrying a chicken. So it's beneath his dignity. So the Torah says he does not have to pick up the item, he could walk by. So you see, even though it says lo tuchal lehit'alem, which is a lo ta'aseh, kavod abiriyot, the zaken, the tamid acham's dignity overrides even a lo ta'aseh shebat Torah. So the achamim are saying, say the same thing over here. Yes, we know mukseh, the laws of mukseh, it's really rabbinical. But all the rabbinical laws are really based on a pasuk in the Torah, which enabled the Hachamim to make their rabbinical law, and that's the pasuk that says lo tasur. The pasuk says lo tasur min adavar asher yagidu lecha yamin usmol. Torah says do not sway from their words that they're going to tell you, not to the right, not to the left. That's the pasuk that empowers Hachamim to make their laws, and therefore the Gemara is saying like this: gadol kavod abiriyot. The dignity of man is so great that it can push away a lo ta'aseh. What's the lo ta'aseh? Lo tasur. Which means the rabbi's enactment of mukseh, which is based on the lo ta'aseh, lo tasur, we're going to push that away, and the kavod abiriyot is going to override it. Therefore, if a guy wants to go on the roof to relieve himself, therefore let him take the rocks with him, and we're not going to be concerned about mukseh. Comes the Gemara and says, Yativ Moremor. Moremor was sitting, v'kamar la lehashmarta. So he said, this halakha over. He said, it's permissible to go onto the roof. The kavod abiriyot issue pushes away the lo ta'asev lo tasur, which is the basis of mukseh. Etive Ravina le Moremor. So Ravina challenged Moremor from a braita. Rabbi Eli Ezer Omer, it says, the name of Rabbi Eli Ezer, Notel Adam Kisam Mishlefanav Lachasod Boshinav. Which means, we're talking about a person, let's say, ate on Shabbat. He ate. And he has some food that's lodged in between his teeth. And therefore he wants to like take a toothpick in order to clean out in between his teeth. So it says, Rabbi Eliezer holds, you can take a toothpick from whatever is in front of him. Which means, it seems even if it's not designated for that purpose, Rabbi Eliezer is lenient. You know, you want to clean your teeth out, just take from whatever's in front of you, take a piece of wood, a little chip there, and use it. V'achamim omrim, and the rabbis say, no. Lo yitol, ela min ha'evu shel behema. You can only take from the trough of the animal, which these pieces of wood were designated already for usage, and therefore they're non-mukseh item because he designated it already for a use. What is Hakamim saying here? That you can't use non-mukseh items, even though kavod haberiot issue, guy has all food lodged in his teeth, kavod haberiot, it's embarrassing. And still they said, unless you can find non-mukseh toothpicks, you cannot do it. Why? If you tell me that kavod haberiot overrides mukseh, so therefore the rabbi should say, any type of even undesignated types of wood should be permissible. So the Gemara says, More answers back, Hachi Hashta, is that a fair analogy? Is that comparable? Hata Adam Koveya Makom Nesuda, Hacha Adam Koveya Makom Lebet HaKiseh, which means when it comes to having a meal, people generally know where they're having the meal. A person's Koveya Makom, he designates a spot that he knows from already before Shabbat where he's going to eat. Therefore, put the toothpicks there from before Shabbat. He should have prepared them before Shabbat. He had a way to alleviate this problem. Put non-mukseh toothpicks there before Shabbat. But does a person know where he's going to have to relieve himself? Which means, wherever it happens, it happens. A person now, all of a sudden, has to relieve himself, and the closest spot is the roof. So what are you going to tell him? No, he should have known from before Shabbat. How are you supposed to know that? So therefore, a kavod habiriyot by a betek, he said, that's not kavua. There, I could say it's going to waive the rule of mukseh. But in this case over here, where a guy before Shabbat knows where he's going to eat. So therefore what? I'm going to tell him now, you should have, you take any toothpick you want? No, I'd say on the contrary. You should have taken designated toothpicks and placed them there from before Shabbat, in the spot where you knew you were going to eat. So therefore you see, even the rules of kavod haberiot is not just a an automatic, which is it's only in scenarios where there's no other choice. Amar Rav Huna, we have a new law. Asur lifnot besadeh nir b'Shabbat. It is forbidden for a person to relieve himself in what's called a sadeh nir. As she says, nir literally is a furrow, which means the owner of the field plowed the field once, and now he's ready to sow it, he's ready to seed it. So a fellow cannot walk into that field and relieve himself. My ta'ama, what's the reason? Ilima mishum davsha, if you're going to tell me because you're now trampling on the guy's field, the guy just plowed it, so you're going to ruin the field of your friend. So that should be forbidden, not only on Shabbat, that should be forbidden even during the week. Bottom line, you're stealing, you're ruining the guy's property. The issue is over here, you're worried about the grass. What does it mean? So that she says, Mishum asabim, Shemachmat lachluchit anir, since the ground is moist. Why? Because he just plowed it. Rashi says, Asavin olin al asror. The rocks now start to grow on them moss, like grass. So what's going to happen? We're concerned that in a sedeh nir, the rocks that are usually there have moss on them, there's grass. And when a person is going to take the rock and he's going to clean himself, it's going to cause the grass on the rock to be pulled off, and that would be asur. Granted, the grass is not attached to the ground. It's only attached to the rock, but the Gemara is saying that to detach grass that's growing on the rock would also be forbidden. So it's a gezerah. What's the gezerah? If we let the guy go in the field, in all odds, what is he going to wipe himself with? With a rock from that field. The rocks in a field, that's nefaydash, since it's moist, so the rocks grow on them moss. And therefore he's going to use the rock, and what's going to happen? It's going to cause the grass on the rock to detach, and that's considered tolesh. So therefore we don't allow him to even go into the field to relieve himself. So the Gemara says, Ve'amar Ishtakish. Ishtakish taught us, but Sror Sha'alu Bo Asabim. If you have a rock that grew on it grass, Mutar L'Kaneyach Ba, which means it's permissible to use it. Why? Because Eno Mitkaven. guy doesn't have kavanah to detach the grass, and it seems it's not an automatic, and therefore we hold like the Bishimon that says davar she'en mitkaven mutav. Now, v'atolesh memena b'shabbat chayav hatat. However, if a guy goes on Shabbat intentionally to pull off some of those pieces of grass on the rock, he's chayav hatat. We do see a chidush over there, that even though it's not attached in the ground, it's just growing on a rock, that's considered the place where it grows, and therefore to pull it off is chayav hatat, but to use it as for wiping, eno mitkaven, and therefore it should be mutar. So again, why did you tell me that a person can't go into the field on Shabbat that was newly plowed? Then don't tell me it's because you're going to use a rock with grass on it. So what? Well, you said mutar. Ela the Gemara says, Dilma nakit me'illae v'shada le'tata'e u'mechayev mishum deraba. What are we concerned about? That she says, shakil me'illae. You're going to take, let's say, a rock from a high spot. Let's say in the field is a gefshushit, is a mound. Right? So he's going to take a rock from the mound. After he finishes it, where is he going to throw the rock? To a low place, which means, so let's say there's a hole in the ground there. By him throwing the rock in the ground now, what did he do? He smoothened out that ground now. Now he made that ground level. The Amar Aban Rava taught, and we learned this earlier, Haita lo guma. The person, let's say, had a hole, v'temema, and he filled it up, v'bayit chayav mishum boneh. If you did it in the house, so the house, we said it's considered building, because you leveled your floor. Basadeh chayav mishum choresh. In the field, by leveling your house, it's considered plowing. So it's a different gezerah here. The gezerah where you're concerned that he might take the rock from a high place, after he finishes it, throw it into a low place, and that's going to be considered filling up the hole, and therefore be subject to the din of order. Now you can tell me he's not mitkaven, but this is automatic, which means once he throws it into the hole, it's a psik reshe. So even on the davar she'en mitkaven, but if it's inevitable, so therefore it's also going to be a problem. Gufa. Now the Gemara goes back to this deen of grass on rocks and wants to understand exactly how this works. Amar Shtakish, Tzror She'alu Bo Asabim. We learned in the name of the Shtakish. You have a rock that it grew on it grass. Mutar V'Kaneyahba. So we said it's permissible on Shabbat to use it, to clean with it. V'Tolesh Mimena B'Shabbat. However, if one intentionally goes on Shabbat and pulls the grass off, Hayav Hatat. He's going to be subject to Chayav Hatat. Amar Rav Papeh. So Rav Papeh said, Shema mina midrish lakish. From Nishlakish's rule of the grass on the rock, I can deduce another halakha. And what is that? Hai parfisa. This parfisa, what is a parfisa? That she says, Atzitz nakuv shizarubo. Atzitz is a flower pot. Nakuv means the bottom of it is opened. So you have two types of flower pots. Some type of pots are closed flower pots, where it's receiving all its nutrients and its growth just from the dirt that's in the pot. And sometimes there's a hole on the bottom of the pot, and they place it on the ground. So therefore, it's also receiving some of its strength from the ground itself. So he's talking about a parfisa, that's an atzitz nakuv. It's a flower pot that has a hole in the bottom of it, and he planted in it. Shari l'tiltule. So he says it would be permissible to move it. Why is it permissible to move it? So let's see Rashi. Midrash Lakish. Rashi diburim atem midrash Lakish. De'amar mutal kaneyachbo. The fact that Midrash Lakish allowed us to wipe with these rocks that have the grass on it. Which means, let's analyze another thing. Where were these rocks sitting before you picked them up? They're sitting on the ground. So you might argue that it's receiving its growth from the ground that it's on. So how did Lishtakish allow to even pick up the rock? Forget about wiping with the rock and detaching the grass. How did he even let you pick up the rock from the ground? Isn't the ground wet as well? So you might argue that that grass is receiving its growth from the ground itself, and by picking it off the ground, you're being tolesh. You're pulling something from its place that it grows. From the fact that it's like he says, you can wipe with it. Obviously, he was saying, we don't care about that it's sitting on the ground. It's receiving its growth from the moisture on the rock, but not from the moisture of the ground. If that's the case, then if you have an atzitz, a flower pot that has a hole in it, I don't care if it's resting on the ground. Because bottom line, I'll say, it's receiving its nutrient from the dirt in the pot itself, and therefore lifting it off the ground is not going to be considered detaching. It's not going to be considered toles. Just like taking the rock that has the grass on it, lifting it off the ground, according to the Tekish, is permissible. So for that matter, taking a flower pot with a hole on the bottom of it, lifting it off the ground, would also be permissible. That was an apes deduction from what Shtaki says. Just like you don't say the ground is sustaining the grass, so too the ground is not sustaining the flower pot with the hole in it. Then what's not causing it to grow? So Gemara says, Matkifna Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, he has a protest. Im abnu letzorech. Yomru shelo letzorech, which is if the rabbis allowed this item of taking a rock up, because you had a tzorech, which means you had a need. He's obviously the guy over here had to clean himself. So just because we allowed it by the rock, now you want to tell me it's going to be permissible even shelo letzorech? But she says letzorech kinuach kavod abiriyot. Which means when it comes to Kavod HaBiriyot, so I'll tell you, okay, the rabbis allowed you to take the rock off the ground. You know, we didn't pay attention to if it's receiving any nutrients from the ground, etc. And let's say it would only be at worst, let's say rabbinical, and therefore the rabbis waived it. Even if you want to say if it's from the Torah, we know the law of Kavod HaBiriyot is able to push away a lot of the Torah. That's because of the Kavod HaBiriyot issue. So in Kavod HaBiriyot we pushed it away. But now you tell me, you want to stop a guy who wants to pick his flower pot off the ground, maybe I'll tell you, Shelo Letzorech Kavod HaBiriyot is going to be forbidden. So he didn't like his deduction. He said, you have no proof. The reason why we allowed the guy to lift the rock off the ground is because Kavod HaBiriyot. Mashiach in the case of the flower pot. Now the she just tells us, interesting thing about this flower pot, it's kedai to read it together. Look at the Rashi, Dibura Matril Hai Parfisa. He says, Ubitshuvata Geonim Matzati. He says, he found from the Geonim, She'osim Hotlot Mekapot Temarim. In the old days, they used to make baskets made out of palms, from the palm tree. Umemali'in Otam Afar. They would fill the baskets with dirt, Vezevel Behema, and fertilizer. The Chaf Bet Otet Vav Yom Lefne Rosh Hashanah. At about 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, osim kol echad ve'echad lesham kol katan ve'ketana shebebayit, which means they make one for every member of the house. About 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, every family would make, however many members they have in the household, as many baskets, they would fill them with dirt, ve'zur'im l'tocham ful ha'mesri, and they would fill it up, they would plant the beans called ful in these baskets. Or kitniyot, or a different type of legumes, beans. Vekorim lo purfisa, and they would call the basket a purfisa. Vesomeya, and they would start to grow. Ube'erev Rosh Hashanah notel kol echad shelo. On erev Rosh Hashanah, each one would take their basket that was designated for them. Umachaziro sivivot roshos shavah pe'amim, and they would swing it around their heads 7 times. Ve'omer, they would say ze tachat ze. That this should be instead of this. Which means this was their form of kaparot, where they would actually, instead of swinging money or chickens like some people do, the Geonim used to say that the minhag was to take this type of plant that was planted a few days before the holiday, and they would swing it around there and say, you know, whatever it is, this will be, instead of me, they would throw it into the river. And anyway, that was called Purfisa. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abaye, Purfisa, already you're talking about this flower pot. Hu'il ve'atali dan, since already it came to us, already we're discussing it, Lema be milta. Now let me say a halakha regarding it. Hayam unach al gabe karka. If let's say the flower pot was resting on the ground, v'niach al gabe yetedot, and he lifted it off the ground, and he placed it on yetedot, on let's say pegs, which is now it's suspending on pegs, it's not on the ground anymore. Mechayev mishum tolesh. He's indeed going to be hayav because of tolesh. Why? Because when it's on the ground, it's benefiting from the smell. It seems even the smell of the ground benefits growth. And then when it's on the ground itself, the ground that it was sitting on, obviously this is talking about a flower pot that has a hole on the bottom of it, is enjoying the smell of the ground that causes it to grow. When you lift it up, you're detaching it from that, so you're going to be Hayam Mishum Tolesh. Hayam Unach Al Gabei Yetedot. The opposite. Now let's say it was suspended on poles. Now in Shabbat you want to put the flower pot on the ground, Hayab Mishum Noteyah, you're going to be Hayab because of planting. Because if you can say Hayab Mishum Tolesh, so you have to say also it's going to inspire growth, then we're going to be Hayab Mishum Noteyah. Comes again what Aaron says. Now incidentally that she says Vilinir E, I'm reading that she Mishum Tolesh, Da'ai Hayab Lav Davka. He says, when it says Hayab Mishum Tolesh or Hayab Mishum Noteya, it's not necessarily Hayab meaning Minat Torah. Ela Asur. He says it's Asur, meaning it's rabbinical. Mishum Didami Le Tolesh. It's similar to Tolesh. He says, Di Hayab Mamash Ka'amar Le Tzorech Ech Isharu Rabbanan Isur Karet Meskila. That she says like this, if you want to tell me that lifting this thing off the ground is really Hayav Min HaTorah. Now, this is not a regular Hayuv. Hayuv Shabbat is a Hayuv that has Karet, if you did it on purpose, and Sekila if you got warned. Kavod HaBiriyot, while it can be Doheh Lo Ta'aseh, that's a regular Lo Ta'aseh. But Kavod HaBiriyot does not have the ability to override a Lo Ta'aseh that's subject to Karet and Sekila. So that she says, when the Gemara says over here, Hayav, it doesn't mean Hayav. It means it's Asur Midrabanan. That's why we let you pick the rock up, because Kavod HaBiriyot could push away the Asur Midrabanan from the Pasuk of Lot Asur. But had this been the Oraita Asur, Karet, Sekila, there's no way Kavod HaBiriyot would allow a guy to lift a rock off the ground in that field. So it's a very important Hashi, that when it says Noteya, when it says Tonesh, it means Midrabanan. It's Domeh. Amar of Yohanan. Yohanan taught Asur lekaneach becheres b'Shabbat. Right? So he says it's forbidden to clean oneself on Shabbat with cheres. Cheres literally means clay. My tama, what's the reason? Ilema mishum sakana. If you're going to tell me because it's dangerous, because when you use clay, the Gemara says the teeth of the rectum are able to become torn. So therefore, if you can tell me that that's the concern, they call it shine karkashta, as she says. This is the teeth of the rectum. So this should be forbidden even during the week then. Why only on Shabbat? It should be forbidden all week long. It's sakana. Ve'ela mishum keshafim. So you're going to tell me the issue is we don't want you to use heres, because one becomes susceptible to witchcraft if he uses heres to clean himself. So then afilu bechol nameh. So then even during the week it should be permissible. Afilu bechol nameh lo. So the question then is, why can't you use heres on Shabbat? Don't tell me because you're worried that you're going to tear something, tearing the rectum, because that would be forbidden during the weekend. Don't tell me it's an issue of witchcraft, because witchcraft would be a suit, which means you wouldn't be allowed to do this during the week either. We'll see what the witchcraft is in a moment. The Gemara will tell us. Ve'ela mishum hasharat nimim. Oh, so you're going to tell me on Shabbat you can't use it because it's going to cause some hairs to be pulled out. It seems when you use clay, it causes the hairs to be pulled out. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Davar shemit kavenu. Again, you're not mitkaven to pull out the hairs, and therefore it's not inevitable, therefore it should be mutar. So the Gemara says, Amar lehu, Rabbi Natan bar Oshaya. So Rabbi Natan bar Oshaya says like this, Gavra Rabba Amar Milta. Listen, a great man said this halakha, meaning Rabbi Yohanan said this halakha, Nema Batama. We have to explain it. Which means Rabbi Yohanan said this statement, you can't use Haydat on Shabbat, and they're trying to understand, they can't figure it out. So Rabbi Oshaya came along and said, listen, a great man made a statement over here, he must have known what he was talking about, we have to, so to speak, give him the benefit of the doubt, and try to understand his logic. We can't just reject his statement. So it says, Lo mebaya behol be'asur, aval be'shabbat u'il v'ika torat keli alav, Shapir dame kamash ma'alan. He was saying like this. This is the chiddush. Let's read it in Rashi. Lo mebaya behol. She'en isur tetul besororot de'asur kenar be'chelim tum keshafim. Which means, during the week, there is no issue of mukseh. Therefore, I'll tell you what, don't use heres. Because I don't want you to use heres. Why? Because you become subject to witchcraft. Therefore, use other items. So then during the week, it's obvious why you can't use heres. But maybe I'll tell you, on Shabbat, better to use heres. Because at least heres is a keli, is a vessel, as opposed to rocks that are mukseh. Which is now on Shabbat, I'll say like this. Maybe it's better to use heres, which is not mukseh, and subject myself to witchcraft, instead of blatantly using rocks that are regular mukseh. So they ask the Hadith of Rabbi Yohanan, that it's asur on Shabbat as well, and therefore better to use regular rocks that are normally mukseh, than to use heres. Why? Because again, you're going to subject yourself to witchcraft. So the Hadith of Rabbi Yohanan was again, during the week, pashut, you don't use heres. You're going to subject yourself to kishafim. And the Hiddush is, even on Shabbat, don't use the heres, even though it would be, let's say, less mukseh, it wouldn't be mukseh technically, we still say, use a rock, which is definitely mukseh normally, better than using a heres, because we don't want it to become subject to kishafim. So comes the Gemara and says, Rava matnila mishum asharat nimin vekasharet Rabbi Yohanan. Rava learned the logic of Rabbi Yohanan over here was why? Because he's concerned that by using the heres, it's going to cause some hairs to be pulled out. So he learned Rabbi Yohanan's reason is like that. And because he learned Rabbi Yohanan like that, he had a problem. He actually had a contradiction in Rabbi Yohanan to another statement he made. Why? What did Rabbi Yohanan say? Did Rabbi Yohanan say such a thing that it would be forbidden to use heres on Shabbat because of? Has to that mean because of it's going to cause hair to be pulled out? Alma davar shemitkaven asur. That must mean Rabbi Yohanan holds according to that logic that even if you're not mitkaven, it's still going to be asur. Can't be. Rabbi Yohanan halakha kistam mishnah. Rabbi Yohanan has a rule. The law follows stam mishnah. Any mishnah that doesn't have an author to it, Rabbi Yohanan says the halakha follows that mishnah. When the author is not written in the mishnah, it's called a stam mishnah. Vitnan, we have a stam mishnah by nazir. It says a nazir. What's a nazir? A person that makes a vow not to cut his hair. So it says chofef. Chofef means that she says he's able to smoothen his hair, which means he's able to, with his hand, smooth his hair back. Umepaspes. Mepaspes means he can actually even run his hands through his hair. Avalosorek. But he's not allowed to comb his hair. Because, what's the difference? By combing your hair, automatically hair is going to come out. So that already is definitely going to be asur. However, running your hands through your hair or smoothing your hair, it's not for sure going to happen, and you're not mitkaven. You're not mitkaven for hairs to come out. When you're combing your hair, you want the hair to come out, because those are the hairs that are not good. However, when you're just running your hands through your hair, so he says it's not for sure going to happen, and therefore davar shemitkaven. So what do you see? Rabbi Yohanan clearly holds davar shemitkaven mutar. So how are you telling me that you can't use a rock on Shabbat, a piece of heres on Shabbat, because the hairs might pull out the hairs? What are you worried about? The Yohanan clearly holds davar shemitkaven mutar. So that reason that Rabbi gave for the Yohanan obviously is going to cause a contradiction of Yohanan himself. Gemara says, you're right. you have to go back to the answer of Rabbi Natan ben Hoshaya. That what? His chiddush was that you can't use Haris on Shabbat because of witchcraft. Even though you might have argued, no, better to use Haris instead of using definite mukseh, better to use rocks that are definitely mukseh. Now the Gemara asks, my kishafim, what is this witchcraft that we're concerned about if a person uses Haris to wipe? Kiyad Rav Chazda v'Rabba Baravuna Havuka Azle Ba'araba. The rabbis of Chazda and Rabba Baravuna were traveling on a boat. There was a certain lady that she told the rabbis, "Utvan bahadaychu, I want to go with you." She wanted to go on the boat with them. Ve'lo utbuha, but they did not allow her. Amra ihi milta. So she said a certain word, meaning she said certain shem tum'a. She said like that she was a witch. She said a certain word that has, let's say, powers of tum'a. Asarta le'arba, and she stopped the boat. The boat was not able to move because she put a spell on them. Amru inu milta. So the rabbi said their own spell, that she says one of the shemot tehorim from the pure side. Sheryuha, and they untied the boat, so to speak, which the boat now was able to travel. So when she saw that, she said, Amra lehu. She said to them, Maye abidiku. What can I do for you? I thought I put a spell on you, but I see that you're not subject to the spells, to the power. Why? Because you must not wipe yourselves with clay. Which is, if somebody wipes themselves with clay, they become subject to witchcraft. What can I do for you? You guys are careful. You know the trick. You don't wipe yourselves with clay. And furthermore, you don't kill lice on your garment. Because if there's a lice or a louse on the garment, some people just swat it and kill it. And then they become subject to kishafim. So I see you don't do that either. Velo shalif lechu yarka ve'achil lechu mekisha de'asir gina'a. Which means, let's explain this last point. The people in the gardens, when they used to have, let's say, bunches, let's say, of leek or things like that, what they do is they make bundles of it. Right. They tie it all together, so that when they pull it out of the ground, it's all in a bunch. They could just make one pull and all comes out. So he says like this, I see ve'lo shalif lechu yarka. You don't pull vegetables out of the ground. Ve'achil lechu, and eat from it. Mekisha de'asir gina'a, from the leek that the gardener bound. It seems that the only way to eat it without getting subject to kishim is you have to untie it first and then pull it out of the ground. But if you pull it out of the ground in a bundle and then you untie it and eat it, you're subject to the kishim. So the Matronita said, I see that you're careful on all these three things. You don't wipe yourself with chayrish, you don't kill lice on your garment, you don't pull bundles out of the ground and eat it, and therefore my spell wasn't able to affect you.